the American dream. To his last breath, he'll always be a soldier.
Heard on great radio stations all across America. It's The National Defense with Randy Miller and Jerry Newberry.
The National Defense is made possible by Ford. Go further. By The Home Depot. More saving, more doing. And by ADT Security. For over 140 years, your first line of defense.
This is The National Defense, Randy Miller and Jerry Newberry. Jerry, as always, our dedication.
Hey, this show's for you. The men and women serving in our military. It's for the millions of veterans out there. And it's for all their families. We're here for you. We love you. God bless you.
This is The National Defense, Randy Miller and Jerry Newberry. And Jerry, as always, our dedication.
Hey, this show's for you, the men and women serving in our military. It's for the millions of veterans out there, and it's for all their families. We're here for you. We love you. God bless you.
Dun, 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 dun. The Legion. We talked about...
I didn't know that was the theme music.
I'm sure it's not, but we've talked to a
sure
lot of people...
I'm sure they probably don't appreciate it.
...from the American Legion. But now, I think Matt Schumann is brand new to the Legion, or fairly new, right? Matt Schumann, the legislative director?
Yeah, so I've been with the Legion for just over 2 years, and I've been the legislative director for a year.
Okay, so fairly new to that position, huh?
Yeah.
That's one of the toughest positions I can imagine.
It's very rigorous.
Very rigorous.
I can attest.
You got to be on top of everything and ready for a fight at all times.
You certainly do. But you know what's interesting is I think every other job in this building or for this organization would be harder because I love what I do and I love to be able to get out there and just pound pavement on Capitol Hill to get things done. It's fun for me. So every other job here is hard in my view. This is the easy fun thing.
Well, let's talk about some of the Legion's priorities. And there's a number of issues that have existed for years.
Perennial issues.
Yeah, and traditionally, the committees on Veterans Affairs have had good relationships. Now, I've heard there's been some rancor recently on those committees, or at least one of them.
You know, there has been. You know, there has been a little bit of a slight tension, but I think that comes from a very good nucleus in that these people have gotten to a point where they now know these programs that they're dealing with much better than most people or most members of Congress do. And so I think they all have these great ideas to be able to get things done, and this is a matter of their preference to get to that end mission. And so it's very interesting. So that's where I believe the tension is sort of stemming from.
So in other words, they all have the best interest of veterans at heart, but there's some disagreement how they get there.
How to get there, yeah.
I think a lot of people would think it's hard to believe that some members of Congress actually know what they're talking about and have the genuine intention of good for members of the military at heart or veteran community. But I'm telling you, I work with these members of Congress day in and day out. Most of them do.
Good.
Hey, Matt, can we talk about the thing that just happened this morning, actually, with President Trump and what he has signed into some legislation? Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, so he signed an executive order that's really going to help members of the armed forces transition out of the military and into the civilian community. And so, you know, I think a lot of people understand that or are nervous or fearful of the transition. Where am I going to live? What am I going to do for a job? Do I go to college? Things of these questions that we all eventually have to go through. And it's easy for a few and hard for many. And so hopefully the intention is to make these issues easier. You know, one of the things that we at the American Legion tend to work on a lot is veteran unemployment, trying to make sure that veterans get quality jobs, and be able to take the skills that we learn in the military and apply them in the civilian sector. For example, if you're an 88 Mike in the Army, if you're a truck driver, why are you not qualified to be able to drive an 18-wheeler down the road in Iowa?
Right.
These are very good, legitimate questions. You receive great training. And, you know, Senator Ernst made a point, if you can drive a truck in combat in Afghanistan or the Stan, why can't you drive an 18-wheeler full of toilet paper in Iowa? Right. It's a very good question.
Yeah, it's a very good question. And, you know, we've been saying that a lot for years on the program. When you talk about veteran suicide, depression, PTSD, a lot of those factors that you're talking about, unemployment, low pay, all of these kind of things kind of lead into that.
Lack of there's a mistaken impression among most people that, you know, we always throw this number out there, veteran suicides, 22 a day.
Right.
But
we've even heard that sort of trickle down a little bit from 22 a day
to 19.
Out of 20, right?
Yeah, okay, right.
But I'll be honest with you, you know, Randy, Jerry, that's still way too high.
Oh, sure. Oh, yeah. One a day.
No doubt. But a lot of people think you have to be a combat. These are all combat veterans that are committing suicide, and that's not true.
And most of them are Vietnam vets.
Right. Most people don't realize the majority of the people that are the veterans that are committing suicide are older and have not been in a combat situation for a very long time. But I'm very glad you brought up the suicide prevention sort of angle, because for me, and what we're doing here at the Legion in terms of our legislative agenda for 2018, that is the core of all of it. Whether it's the CHOICE program, whether it's the pills modernization, unemployment, health care, you know, GI Bill, if you get all of that right, that will drastically help draw down the number of suicides because all these programs that are aimed to help veterans will help.
Amen. And we're prescient, Randy. We started talking about this kind of stuff 10 years ago.
Well, and
that if you don't have if you can't,
all of these factors,
if you can't transition into society, then man, you lock yourself in a room
bad
things happen.
I was having a conversation with a congressman yesterday. I mean, the simple reality is suicide is not a one-size-fits-all, right? What will cause a veteran over here on the left to commit suicide will not do it for the guy on the right. So if we can make sure that every program that is designed for them is working in the best order it can, because, you know, they come home and get a letter that their GI Bill is not working, that may be the last straw for them.
Yes.
Right. If we could just make sure that all those programs are in place while also making sure that the mental health programs are obviously great, we can do our best to ensure that veterans don't make that wrong choice.
And you just mentioned something that we have to talk about.
Yeah.
And that's healthcare, VA healthcare system. And what appears to me anyway is a concerted effort by some to destroy the VA healthcare system.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, here's the reality. We were talking earlier about sort of the tension within the Veteran Affairs Committees. The CHOICE program, which is a program that was sort of stemmed out of 2014, which allows veterans to be able to receive, you know, care in the community down the street from their house instead of going to the brick-and-mortar VA. You know, there are 9 different community care programs at VA, including CHOICE. That means there's 9 different programs with 9 different sets of rules, 9 different ways to pay it for a veteran to go into the community. And we need to streamline that and make that one program. But there are people...
Right.
What they want to do is they want to take all the money from VA, all the brick-and-mortar institutions, and funnel that just to paying for the care in the community. But here's the massive downside to that, gentlemen. The reality is that when you go to the VA, you're dealing with people, with doctors, clinicians, and nurses, and even the admin assistant who understands and pays attention to veterans, right? You go to a civilian clinician, I'm sure they're going to provide you great care, but they don't understand the battle and the fatigue and the daily wear that veterans have gone through. And so going to VA and keeping money in that system is absolutely critical.
Well, and Matt, I'm hopeful that they would provide great care, but in the private sector, that's not always a guarantee either.
Let me tell you a very quick story, if I may. I go to our local VA. I have a 9 o'clock appointment. I get in at 8:45 for a test, and I'm out of there by 9:15. The other day, and VA recently just sent me to a civilian, if you will, hospital for a test and a consult. I got there 15 minutes ahead of time. I sat there for a half an hour.
Right.
They finally called me in, spent 5 minutes with the nurse. She told me to take my shirt off, my shoes and socks. So then I sit in this room. Freezing me arse off.
Yeah, right.
For 35 minutes before the doctor walked
in. you can do that in D.C. on the sidewalk if you want.
Yeah.
People will give you money. People will give you money.
And how much time did you get to spend with that doctor, by the way?
5 minutes.
Yep. I mean, that's it.
Yeah. Five minutes.
The average time you get to spend with a doctor in a private sector is 7 minutes. That is
really
the
wow.
thing
yeah.
they shoot for. And so when you compare that with your VA care, Jerry.
And I get good care.
Yeah. I mean, it's incredible. And Matt, I think it's also very relevant what you're talking about in terms of them understanding a veteran's perspective and
right.
and understanding what they're going through. We're talking to Matt Schumann. He's the American Legion Legislative Director. We had VA Secretary David Shulkin on the show, about a month ago, and brought up the idea again of medical marijuana, and not really a lot of movement there. I know the Legion has been.
Well, they have. Yeah, the Legion has been
kind of been leading that. Yeah, right.
Absolutely. You know,
go ahead.
The military term. I think the military term we would use here is tip of the spear, gentlemen.
Exactly. Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah.
And I believe VA is just ruled that their doctors can discuss marijuana.
Have the ability to discuss it.
But we brought that up to the secretary, and he said, no, there's been no shift. And I said, okay, all right.
Sometimes their decisions don't get up to him.
That happens in every
major bureaucracy. I mean, it's what we deal with every day on
That's
Capitol Hill,
point.
Which is why,
That's a good point.
You know, the great thing is the American Legion, being the largest veteran service organization that we are, I've got a huge staff of trained and professional people who advocate for veterans. They're on the Hill every single day. I've got my team on the Hill literally as we speak, talking with members of Congress to get things done for the veterans. And here's the best part about it. We don't just do it for our members. We don't just cover our 2.2 million members. We cover every veteran.
Right.
We are up there advocating for policy. If you are a member of Wounded Warrior Project or any other organization,
right.
we're still advocating for you. And, you know, I don't go up there and say, hey, Mr. Chair, you know, hey, Speaker Ryan, just go ahead and do it for, here's a list of our two
right.
million members, only help
yeah.
them.
Right.
I say, no, if they've worn the fabric of our country, you know, in service, let's help them.
Yep. Hey, we're talking to Matt Schumann from the American Legion, the Legislative Director. We'll be right back with the National Defense right after this word from Farmers Insurance. When you're dealing with life's ups and downs, it helps to know the ins and outs of insurance. Farmers Insurance has been sharing practical insurance knowledge for more than 89 years. At Farmers, we know a thing or two because we've seen a thing or two. Find an agent at farmers.com.
We are Farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
National Defense is made possible by Farmers Insurance. At Farmers, we know a thing or two because we've seen a thing or two. Find an agent at farmers.com.
We are Farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Welcome back to the National Defense. Matt Schumann is with us, the American Legion Legislative Director. A lot of stuff to get to.
There are people who seem to think, in my view anyway, or have the mistaken impression that, you know, VSOs don't really matter. And I think they really believe this because of the absolute, often flagrant way they want to do things that work against the interest of veterans. They don't
right.
seem to pay attention to what the VSOs
right.
have to say. What is that? Is that arrogance or what the hell is that?
Well, you know, I'll tell you this. When they choose not to do that and the American Legion walks into their office and says, I think we need to have a conversation, it's sort of a rude awakening sometimes for these members of Congress, particularly members yeah. of Congress who are not on the Veteran Affairs Committees that don't engage with us often. It's particularly interesting when I can sit down with, you know, the committees and say, hey, listen, the American Legion is opposed to this, and they really take that to heart and do their absolute best to work with us on issues. We have, in concert with our other VSOs, VFW and DAV, for example, have straight up blocked the committee from moving pieces of legislation. I have the ability, through the American Legion's name, to walk right into Speaker Paul Ryan's office and meet with their staff and say, listen, this is not working, and let me tell you why. And we are a recognized, respected, and valued source of realistic and reliable information. That is exactly what we do every day before the United States Congress.
Good.
Yeah.
Good.
Well, and just for proof of that, I think you just have to look back to the new GI Bill and all of these other.
The list is so long. Yeah. You know,
since which I have to say, 2017 was an amazing year for veterans legislation. And I'll give a plug real quick for the GI Bill, which was named the Colmary GI Bill, which was named after Harry Colmary, past National Commander of the American Legion, who wrote the original GI Bill two blocks from where I'm sitting right here in Washington, D.C., and it was an amazing tribute to him.
Hey, Matt, I want to ask you, so, you know, we like to be specific on this program and kind of hold people's feet to the fire and but give them the credit when the credit's due.
Yeah.
Give us some idea and some names of some of the members of Congress that are doing the right thing and have the right kind of heart for veterans.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, Chairman Roe, Phil Roe of Tennessee's 1st Congressional District, is the chairman of the House Veteran Affairs Committee.
Right.
Phenomenal. He's a Army veteran, medical doctor. It's great when you have somebody who is not only a veteran, but also the expertise of, you know, healthcare when he's sitting in front of the committee. His counterpart, the ranking member for the Democrats for the committee in the House, is Congressman Tim Walz. Tim Walz, or Sergeant Major Walz, is the highest-ranking enlisted soldier in the United States Congress. I have profound and tremendous respect for that man. I can call him in a second, and he'll say, Matt, what do you need? What can we do? And it is amazing.
Wow.
On the Senate side, you've got John Tester from Montana. He's the ranking member. He's a Democrat. Phenomenal. I could call up there and sit down with his staff or him, you know, real quick. And all he wants to do is the right thing for veterans, and it's amazing. And then you've got, lastly, Senator Johnny Isakson of Georgia. He's a good guy, cares a lot about veterans, and, you know, moves the legislation when it's necessary for their community to do so. But those four, they do – we call them the four corners because they're sort of the foundation for the community. They do
good.
A lot of great work for veterans.
Well, Matt, listen, it sounds to me like they got the right guy for the job over at the American Legion, the legislative director, Matt Schumann. Man, we'd love to have you back on again stay updated on what's going on. Yeah, thank you, Matt.
Appreciate it. Thank you, gentlemen. Take care.
Some good stuff. We'll be right back here on the National Defense. No matter where you're headed, Farmers Insurance can help you plan for the insurance you want. With practical insurance knowledge gained from more than 89 years of experience, at Farmers, we know a thing or two because we've seen a thing or two. Find an agent at farmers.com.
We are Farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Welcome back to the National Defense. Randy Miller, Jerry Newberry, and Jim Lorraine is with us. He's the president and CEO of America's Warrior Partnership, which already sounds like a great idea. Jim, how are you today?
I'm well, thanks. Thanks, Jerry. Thanks for having us on.
And tell us a little bit about America's Warrior Partnership, how you guys got started, and what's it, 4 years ago?
4 years ago, yeah. So we got started, basically, our mission is to empower communities to empower veterans. And we got started as a small local community doing great work to organize local community services around the needs of the veterans. In Augusta, Georgia, we were able to take 195 homeless veterans down to 8 in about an 18-month period. Yeah, and it really came from the energy from within the community. And what happened was a funder came to us and said, hey, can you replicate this throughout the United States? And the funder was Wounded Warrior Project. And so what we did was we replicated it in 9 communities throughout the United States. And what we do is we teach the communities how to not only harness the services that are already available, but also to do outreach and engagement to veterans, to proactively go out and meet them, build a relationship with them, not just post 9/11, but post 9/11 to World War II. Veterans have an enormous amount to give back, and it's in the community's best interest to harness it. So we got started that way. But really, where it started was at Special Operations Command. I ran a program at United States Special Operations Command called the U.S. SOCOM Care Coalition, and we did the same thing. And I just replicated it at the community level.
Yeah, it's an education process.
Yeah.
It's somewhat unfortunate that, you know, communities just now are getting educated. I can go back to the very early 80s in the community I lived in. And, of course, it was a group of Vietnam veterans. And we went through all kinds of changes with the politicos in our county.
Yeah.
because it was the same thing we're trying to do, trying to educate them to the needs of the community, how they could bring existing resources into play. And it was like, at that time, it was like pulling teeth.
Yeah,
and there's a lot of perceptions, right? And, and it may not, they may not be accurate. And I think that those perceptions, once you go into a community with a group of veterans and they and you realize that, that we're not all broken, that we're really we're far more of an asset to a community than we are a a burden to the community.
Well, you know, all they have to do is take a look around. The guy delivering the mail is a veteran. The cop or the fireman or other first responder is a veteran. The butcher's a veteran.
Yeah, exactly. So, so to your point about the Vietnam era veterans, one of the things that we also saw in the communities that we've been in, the more organized they become, the more the veterans who never told anybody that they were a veteran come out and they say, "Hey, I want to give back in some way. I want to be part of this."
Right.
And then that I think it's cathartic for them to do that. But I'll tell you, the value to the community is enormous.
And the catharsis is. You know, we've been talking about years about PTSD and transitioning back in the community, how important that is to be able to do. So, and what you're accomplishing is, in fact, easing that, helping to ease that transition.
And the other thing I like about it, Jerry, is it's not only just common sense stuff, but it's stuff where once you do the work, people start to understand, you know, how good this is. And Jim, it's amazing. It's amazing to me. How many homeless vets did you say in Augusta, Georgia?
Back in 2011, there were on the point in time there was 195.
I mean that's amazing. For Augusta's not a huge city.
Yeah.
But I mean to have that many, and then for you guys to reduce that down to how many?
It was down to eight. Wow. Was the next year's point in time count. But, you know, it wasn't just us. That's the thing, is it was the entire community. Came together. All we did was just coordinated it. And so what we learned was that on the left hand, you want to know who the veterans are in the community, all of them. And on the right hand, you want to know who all the service providers are. And what we teach organizations to do is to be the intermediary to bridge, understand what the veteran needs, connect them to the resources, and then keep moving forward. But in Augusta, it was a community effort. Hmm. It wasn't just us. We were the ones who were going out and finding the veterans and connecting them to the services.
So I believe you mentioned nine communities.
Nine communities. From Buffalo, New York to South Carolina, Greenville, Charleston, Florida, Panhandle, and Orange County, California.
Great. Is there a common denominator among these nine communities that provides a real impetus for grasping what needs to be done?
Yeah, there is. The number one common denominator is leadership. Hmm. That there's a leader in the community or a group that say, this is important, we see the value, and we're going to do something about it.
So what do you guys do? You do like you go to a community and do a recon to figure out who's going to...
That's a better word. We use the term secret shopper, but I like recon. That's better.
Well,
yeah.
Hey, Jim, and what it's amazing, Jerry and I both used to work for the VFW, and it was amazing to me when you've got an entire... community of companies that would like to do something for veterans. And on the other hand, you've got a whole group of veterans that need these resources, and neither one knows how to get together. And very frustrating to find that out. But then when the companies finally saw that they were allowed to do stuff for veterans, they did it.
No, absolutely. One of the things, as I said, when our guidance to the communities is that that they go out and they do proactive outreach and they build relationships with all veterans, not just the ones who are in need,
right,
but the ones who want to give back. What we found is that 87% of the veterans are looking for volunteer opportunities, recreational opportunities, and peer, and to get together. Only 17% are looking for housing, employment, or assistance with education or financial assistance.
Huh.
It's a small percentage.
Yeah, that's interesting.
But in that 83%, and this comes from my service time, in that 83%, my concern has always been the late onset of traumatic brain injury and post-traumatic stress.
Sure.
And that when somebody goes home, we don't want to meet them too late, that we can't help them. I always say you always can tell the story about somebody you met and you say, I wish I knew you 6 months ago.
Right.
Because
right.
You wouldn't be in the position you're in right now. And so what we want to do is get ahead of that 6 months, build a relationship ahead of time. They know who to go to get connected to services, and they feel comfortable talking with them. Sort of like the VFW. My dad, when he came back from World War II, if not for the VFW, he wouldn't have been as successful in business and moved forward. But they were the glue in the community.
Right.
You don't see that a lot, and that's what we're really replicating in these communities that are interested in serving.
You're talking to Jim Lorraine. He's the president and CEO of America's Warrior Partnership. Hey, Jim, let's talk about this latest effort that you guys are involved in, because it's vitally important, trying to reduce the number of veteran suicides. We just talked to the legislative director of the American Legion a little while ago on the show, and some of the things that they're trying to do and what you guys are trying to do pretty much align. But the other part of it, and we've talked about it many times on the show, there's so many factors that lead to depression, PTSD, suicide attempts. And, that's lack of housing, lack of unemployment, some of these stress triggers and factors. And you guys have teamed up with, I think, Bristol-Myers Squibb, correct?
Correct. And the University of Alabama. Roll Tide.
I knew that was coming,
right?
Yeah.
Well, that's got to be touchy. It's got to be touchy in Augusta.
Well, yeah, I watch what I wear.
Exactly. Yeah,
what we say. But no, University of Alabama's got a great research program, and one of the things that not a lot of people know is the amount of focus that University of Alabama has on veterans, and so. They were a logical partner on this. Bristol-Myers Squibb, I can't thank them enough because they immediately saw the vision of what we were trying to do. But it goes back to what you all were talking about, and that's there's so much speculation as to the why. And the reason we came to this methodology and study was that we use an information system that we built that's publicly available that's called Warrior Serve, and basically it's communities use it to manage and coordinate between organizations, and we said we have all this data. With the data, can we predict or can we identify those who might be at the greatest risk for suicide? And my response was, can you tell me the difference between a veteran in Buffalo, New York who's about to take their life and one in Orange County, California? And the answer was, no, we can't.
Right.
And when we did more research, what we found was there wasn't a lot of information about what was happening in the veteran's life before they took their life. So that's why we called it Operation Deep Dive. So what we want to do is rebuild the veteran's life, their last year, and identify where did they go to school, where did they go to church, where did they get their health care. What was their characterization of discharge? How many dishonorably discharged veterans take their lives? How many other than honorable discharge veterans take their lives? They may not be included in the VA studies. And I think it's important for us to understand what this looks like, and then also to be able to go and say in Buffalo, New York, during these months, the veterans who frequent these locations and who do and have these behaviors are at the highest risk, target them, or not target them, but do outreach and do prevention for them.
That's interesting. I mean, it's almost like a cop, reconstructing a crime and leading up to that and trying to see what kind of information you can garner through that.
Well, one other piece that we added to it, and it came out of my time at Special Operations Command, was we used to use geospatial analysis to find high-value targets of Al-Qaeda and what we would do, and the way we would use it, and then it, as we were moving through the study and the methodology, it hit me, why can't we use the same methodology to identify what characteristics are veterans who are going to take their lives?
And yeah, so, instead of a shotgun approach.
Yeah, so yeah. Digital Global, which is a great geospatial analysis company, came in and pro bono said, hey, we'll do the analysis for you. You gather the data, we'll put it through our systems, and then the intent is to say to Orange County, California, here's where prevention needs to be targeted, right? Here's where you need to really focus. And then the other piece is we want this methodology to be used by other counties. So we're going to make it available for other counties to use when we're done so that they can do the same thing in their counties so that they can say, I want to stop veteran suicide right now. And I think that's the thing that we need to do.
You guys are doing some great work. Jim, unfortunately, your time's up, but we'd love to have you back on.
Absolutely.
Tell folks where they can find out more information about America's Warrior Partnership.
Yes, you can go to our website, which is www.americaswarriorpartnership.org.
Great work.
Yeah, Jim, thank you so much for the time, man. We really appreciate it.
Hey, thanks for all you're doing. I really appreciate it.
Happy New Year.
Yeah, Happy New Year to you. Thank you.
We'll be right back here in the National Defense. Welcome back to the National Defense. Randy Miller and Jerry Newberry. And ADT Security has been with the National Defense. What a great partner they have been.
They have, and they, ADT, they've got things locked up.
They do have things locked up. Letha Steffi, our buddy from Kansas City, is on the phone with us from the Consumer Electronics Show. So that just tells you kind of where ADT is.
Cutting edge.
Yeah.
Cutting edge.
Letha, how are you doing?
Doing very well. How are you both?
Well, good. And I just want to find out from you because originally you came to ADT as what was the original title? Because she's moved up now, Jerry.
Oh, she has?
I think she owns ADT.
President?
Yes.
Yeah.
No, I think she was already the VP.
Oh.
What is your title now, Letha?
Yeah, no, not My at Lord. All. Actually, SVP of Advertising and Marketing Strategy at ADT. And it's a pleasure to be on your show today. We are, we've proudly align with NPR and all the things that you're doing, and of course, all the men and women that are out serving our country. So we so appreciate the efforts here.
Well, thank you so much. I want to find out what's happening to that show.
Yeah.
That's got to be so cool.
It is amazing. So CES is here in Vegas, and there are over 3,900 different companies that exhibit.
Wow.
And if you're not as familiar with CES, they have manufacturers, developers, suppliers, consumer technology, hardware content. There's over 170,000 people that are in attendance at CES from over 150 different countries. So
if you think
about technology and innovation, this is the place to be.
I just told Jerry, I just saw on the news this morning, it was a car, of course, a self-driving car, but it's big enough to hold a meeting in as you travel down the road.
Right. Self-driving.
Yeah. It's just incredible.
Yeah.
So what's new with ADT as far as technology? Anything in the works that you know about?
Absolutely. We're actually here, representing the smart home and the connected home.
Sure.
And we actually, ADT announced just yesterday, the beginning of CES, ADT Go. So if you think about ADT, we continue to redefine security. It's about ADT helping to protect and make you feel safe at home and now on the go and online, and I'd love to talk with you a little bit about what those things include.
Yeah, that sounds cool. Yeah, it does sound cool.
Awesome. So we have, ADT for the home, and there's both ADT Pulse system, which is professionally installed, but ADT also has a DIY system. We've partnered closely with Samsung and Samsung SmartThings, and we have a new Samsung SmartThings ADT DIY system. And it's something that you actually install yourself. And that's available today in Best Buy. It's available at Best Buy online. And just like I said, it's a DIY system. So for those that are renting or even those that are in temporary housing or for your home, you just want to install it yourself.
Cool.
That's something that we just launched earlier this fall. And then in addition, you know, while ADT is helping to protect you at home, what we're really excited about and just launched yesterday is ADT Go. ADT Go is an app that you can download on your phone, and it's actually, you can download it for free. So get this. It has family location, it has safety driving, and it has an SOS. So if you're familiar, we partnered with a group called Life 360, and it's a platform where, so Randy, let's say you're heading off, you know, out of town, and you know those that are in your family circle, they could actually see that Randy's headed to the airport, and that you're then headed to, you know, you land in Las Vegas. We could see that if you've gone home, if there are certain locations that you want to set. And then there's also safety driving. So for those out there that have kids that are, you know, in that early driving stage, 16-year-old just has a, you know, just handed the keys over, you actually can track their driver's safety.
And the other incredible thing is, because Letha is from Kansas City, even after that playoff game, you're still able to be excited and going. So that's credit to you.
Yeah, that was pretty painful over the weekend. But I tell you, we are diehard Chiefs fans.
Yep.
And you know, ADT, as we continue to innovate and redefine security, we just want to make a big shout out to all those men and women out there that are each and every day serving our country and helping to protect the great USA.
Absolutely.
Each and every day. So just our shout out and our sincere thanks to all those men and women.
Ugh. Letha, thank you so much. I really appreciate the time, and have a great rest of time at CES. That sounds fantastic.
Yeah. Awesome. Thank you so much for the time, all. Have a great day.
See ya.
You too. Happy New Year. Thank you so much for listening. We'll be back here next week with a brand new edition of The National Defense.
Home is not just something you can see or touch. Home is a feeling. It's the place where you feel safe to have those little moments that mean everything. At ADT, we believe that feeling should always be there. Whether it's at your house or your business, we help keep you safe so you can have those moments that make you feel at home.
You are loved.
Wherever you are.